The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Aloha! Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Oh my God, it's my favorite hibiscus soap. I love this hibiscus-shaped soap so much that Bubble Genius actually named it after me. It's Bob's favorite hibiscus soap. Go to bubblegenius.com/bob-hibiscus for soap that not only smells like Hawaii, but it massages your hands while you wash. I personally don't use any other hand soap, and I think you'll be hooked too. Only $8 for a 3-pack at bubblegenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Today, Crossfire is very different. We have just one guest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crossfire, John Stewart.
Thank you. I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have, privately, amongst my friends, and also in occasional newspapers and television shows, mentioned this show as being bad.
I felt
that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't... It's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to come here today and say... Here's just one, what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America.
Okay, now...
For us, because we, as the people...
How do you pay?
The people, not well.
Better than CNN, I'm sure.
But you can sleep at night. See, the thing is, we need your help. Right now you're helping the politicians and the corporations, and we're left out there to mow our lawns.
You said we're too rough on them when they make mistakes.
No, you're not too rough on them. You are part of their strategies. You're partisan, hacks.
You're always 1, 2, 3 jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed. With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
You people are sick.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, August 6th, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Hi. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com each and every damn show. BubbleGenius.com. It's the best. So
wait a minute. You mean Bubble Genius isn't another one of the people on the show?
Right, nor is it my nickname. I'm not referring...
I don't understand that. I'm confused.
I am not Bubble Genius Bob. That's not my name.
I'm totally going to start calling you that.
Bubble Genius Bob.
Bubble Genius Bob.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Easily the best lawyer I've ever had. The Bowen Group wants to give free answers to legal questions for Bob and Chez Show listeners, so head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page. You can't miss it. Because it says, you know, the Bowen Law Group. All right. Oh, and thanks to our spectacular new affiliate, littlegreenfootballs.com. And make sure to support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Had a gigantic July, and we want to top it in August. We're getting, you know what? We're getting crazy close to the halfway mark.
I like it.
We're so damn close to the halfway mark to reaching our goal. Amazing. And a quick programming note. There will not be an after party. I know, no after party on Friday because I have, let's just put it this way. I'll explain on next week's after party why I can't make Friday's after party.
But Bob, don't we deserve to know as your audience?
Yes, and you will. You will. It'll just be, It'll not be my favorite part of next week's after party, but suffice to say, I have to miss Friday's after party. I'm not dying or sick or anything like that, so don't worry.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
That's all I have to say about that. Okay, you were on, oh my God, you were on the Stephanie Miller Happy Hour. And you recorded. You recorded yesterday.
Yes.
And I have heard the first 14 minutes, and it is amazing. It is amazing. Not only because, you know, because it's sort of an ego stroke for me, because my name came up quite a bit. And at least in the first 14 minutes.
Of course, dude.
But it was just really damn entertaining. And it was so trippy to hear your voice in with the Stephanie Miller Show cast.
And they were great. They were a hell of a lot of fun. And I honestly can't thank Steph or you know, Chris or Travis enough. They were all just freaking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you can tell, I feel like maybe I'm vindicated by your appearance because, I mean, couldn't you tell, like, they're our people? They're, like, our kind
of
people.
Sure, no, of course. It was, honestly, it was a really, really good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's I'd listened to the show before, obviously, but, you know, but, I mean, being an actual part of it was pretty terrific, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. And Chris and I both almost killed Moby, so...
That's right.
That's the best way to end that. I wanted to hit him with like a piece of steak instead of running him over. That would have been unfair. Hitting and killing him with a piece of steak would have been good.
So he was like, what, crossing the street, and then you and Chris were leaving after the.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, Chris left just before me, and I pulled out afterwards, and you know, walking up the hill, walking up the street where Stephanie lives. Like, mm-hmm. There comes. I'm like, that's Moby, dude.
That's Moby.
Swerve. Yeah. And Chris mentioned it on, I think it was on Facebook. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that was Moby. I had to make absolutely sure.
So I don't want to spoil the topic of conversation. I don't want to say exactly what it was you were telling Chris and Stephanie on the show right at the top of the Happy Hour show. Because,
No,
spoilers.
That's half the fun.
So you were
now you're interested. Now you want to listen.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to subscribe. You get a Stephcast subscription at stephaniemiller.com, and then you sign up for the Happy Hour podcast, because it is, I mean, it's generally a really effing funny show.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I suck, but they had like Lily Tomlin on recently. So, you know, don't get it for me.
Yeah.
Get it for like Lily Tomlin, who's someone who's actually done something with her life as opposed to me.
So I wanted to clarify something without actually saying what it was. My reaction when you were telling me about this spoiler thing that you have to listen, it's very, right, very revealing, especially if you're new to the show. It's not something that we've talked about maybe in 3 years, something
we
like talk, that.
We talked about it on the after party.
Talked about it on the after party, right.
Where we talk about seriously anything.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a detail of your life that's sure. Very, very revealing. And
it should surprise absolutely nobody. Just if you know anything at all about me, it should not surprise you one single bit.
Yeah. But my reaction was not
priceless.
It wasn't confusion. It was sort of Larry King curiosity.
Right.
Like, why? Tell me about that. Why did you do it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Because I ask questions. I like to ask questions. I'm curious like a cat. So that's what that was like when you revealed that.
You're
I was like,
pro.
Okay,
you're,
now
you're
I'm a pro. Pressure on the fire. Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Right.
Applied himself well. These are things I have confidence in, young MD. Right, I'm talking about journalism. I think you're exhausted. 30 nights. I am exhausted from 30 nights.
But I'm a pro.
I am a professional. Look it up in the book. That's what we do. We're pros. We don't cop out. We tell you that we're ill.
How well you know that is just astonishing.
Or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert. And what do you do now? Kind of worried about the club. The club? Nah, don't worry about the club. Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 150 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass along, we're going to pass along now to the Mutual Newsroom. Hi, it's Hoppy, overlooking Washington,
D.C. Wow, that's just an amazing talent.
You know,
what a wonderful ability. You really take that to bars.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what the hell I had for breakfast today, but, you know, a very good friend of mine from, you know, just a couple of years ago come up and punch me in the face. I wouldn't be able to identify him, but I know that
you can
that
remember the name of only, like, three people on Game of Thrones.
That's right. But I can recite the entire Larry King drunk after 30 consecutive nights tape. Yeah. So I was just curious. I wasn't like, ew, you're creepy. I was just going, wow, interesting.
Right. No.
Revealing.
It was just funny. It was a very funny moment on the show.
So anyway, so that was that. So congratulations on your happy hour appearance, and
total blast.
I think that gets posted either today or tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure. Usually they post it the second day. I know when I was on, I think it was a Thursday. It got posted Friday. But since your show was Wednesday, it'll get posted today, I assume.
Cool.
So that's it.
Okay.
StephanieMiller.com.
Awesome.
Okay, so moving along here. I guess we should talk about Jon Stewart. Tonight is Jon Stewart's last
show. I really liked your piece, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
For the magazine today. Because you're right. That's sort of saying, if I weren't suffering from whatever the hell mental instability and writer's block that I'm having right now,
yeah,
that's kind of what I'd like to say. Because it's completely true. He has sort of stopped being, while God bless him, you want him to be able to live his life as he sees fit, he's sort of stopped being his own person. Mm-hmm. He's now a public servant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that he needs, I would hope that he understands that his leaving us is going to be, it's just going to leave a massive hole, a very necessary, it's going to leave a massive hole in a place that it's very necessary for it to be filled.
Here's what I wrote in the Banter magazine. I'm sure Ben's okay with me revealing this since it is subscription only. But I presented two gripes, and the only reason I presented the two gripes is because I wanted to set up the third gripe, which is not so much a gripe, but like a please don't go plea to Jon Stewart. And the third gripe basically goes like this. He can't go. I understand exactly why he's moving on to other projects. Realistically, it's his life and his career and his family. But when you've been doing what he's done for this long, and by the way, doing it in a way unmatched by anyone else, past or present, and when your work is so vitally important for the discourse, in a certain way, you've ceased to be your own person and instead grown into a servant of the people. I hate to sound selfish about it, but we need Jon Stewart. We need him to articulate what's ailing us. We need him to speak truth to power. We need him to walk us through the darker passages of our national story. I can't help but to feel like he's abandoning us just when we've arrived at the front gates of the idiocracy, and there's no one else to wave us away from entering. So, yeah, would someone please chain Jon Stewart to that desk for another couple of years?
Yeah, I just happened to come across the Roger Ailes' response. And, of course, it's exactly what you would expect.
Oh,
sure. It's a lot of backhanded compliments, but, of course, it's also, you know, it's a victory lap. You know, he didn't make a dent. We're still hugely popular. We still make a lot of money. We still have great ratings. You know, he may have tried as much as he did, and he's obviously a very bitter man. This is what Ailes said, that fucking cunt. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's, but obviously, you know, we won. He accomplished nothing.
Yeah, one guy didn't take down an entire juggernaut network like he was ever expected to do that.
Right.
No, what he did is he led the charge in systematically marginalizing Fox News Channel and sealing them away in their own bubble. That's what he did. He was never set out to destroy Fox News Channel. I mean, who does that? I don't think anyone single-handedly could destroy Fox News Channel. Yeah. But I think what he's done is he's revealed to a lot of people and changed a lot of minds about what Fox News Channel is all about.
Yeah, he's closed them off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I do think that regardless of whether anything came out of it in the sense that it had a very, very long-lasting or detrimental impact, he absolutely exposed the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, maybe you can argue that in the end it didn't cause Fox News to shut down. But still, what he did was vital. I mean, he was there saying, you know, just absolutely exposing their hypocrisy, absolutely exposing them. And a lot of times doing it not through through soliloquies, but through actually just going back and hanging them with their own words.
Yeah,
I think was hugely important.
What he misses, and I think what a lot of people miss when it comes to even what you and I do, is that we're not necessarily looking to take someone out. What we are doing merely is providing other people with maybe some weaponry in the debate, providing some sort of, just because we do it and we do it for a living and we focus on it so much, we have sort of a more honed ability to come up with, you know, phrases, talking points, arguments that can counter what goes on with Fox News Channel or the Republicans or whoever. And so
you do. I just call them names.
Well, sometimes
I serve no purpose.
Sometimes that works too. I mean, the best line of Tuesday's show, not to blow smoke here, but the best line of Tuesday's show was comparing George W. Bush to a tomato with a feather sticking out of it.
Thank you.
And just, you know, just a quick word about the future of, well, specifically late night comedy. And we've talked about this a bit on the after party, but I think, you know, it, considering tonight's the last Daily Show and how the Daily Show is an important, you know, item in sort of our wheelhouse, we'd be remiss to not say something about the shifting landscape of late night comedy, which is really distressing to me. And again, if you listen to the after party, this is some well-worn territory. But for just our free listeners, I am concerned. I'm concerned that we're entering this cuddly, safe, inoffensive period with late-night comedy, where late-night comedy is late-night comedy because it is supposed to be risky enough that it can't actually play during prime time. But yeah. What's happening is we're seeing a lot of comedy now that could easily play in prime time.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's tepid, toothless.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
It's
Jimmy Fallon and what's his name? James Corden.
Yeah. I think Seth Meyers, too. I saw a Seth Meyers thing on the airplane coming back from Phoenix, and it was, I couldn't believe how unfunny it was, and the crowd was going nuts.
Yeah.
You know, again, simple jokes, like simple, inoffensive. It's gone from satire, hardcore satire you see on The Daily Show or Colbert or a Late Show with David Letterman, and it's become just like this toothless parody. It's become like, let's just make fun imitations of people.
Yeah.
Rather than actually calling them out for the crazies they are or the eccentrics they are in some cases. Yeah. You know, and I know there are exceptions. I think Stephen Colbert on Late Show is going to be an exception.
I like Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel is obviously an exception.
Because he doesn't mind being angry.
Yeah. And of course, his biggest influence is Letterman. So I'm at least glad to see that there are some people who are still carrying that forward. But clearly the popular trend leans toward people like Fallon. And I think to a certain degree, Trevor Noah. I can't see, I'm going to give Trevor Noah a chance. But I can't see Trevor Noah going on CNN's Crossfire and doing what Jon Stewart did to Tucker Carlson and Paul McGough.
No, I don't see it either. I mean, and I have nothing against Trevor Noah, and I'm absolutely willing to give him a chance, certainly. But Stewart has a certain kind of personality that I think is very necessary. And I don't think that this is just a case of, well, you know what, we're not used to the new guy.
Right.
You know, because admittedly, when Stewart took over, I missed Kilbourne. Because I liked Kilbourne's just absolute vicious snarkiness.
Yeah, it was just full of smarm.
Yeah, and it was great, but it was. It was really funny. I mean, it made me laugh, but it had no impact.
Yeah.
You know, over time, Stewart had a massive impact, and I think that it's an impact that's important. Mm-hmm. And he's gained – I actually think that in a lot of ways, I think his heft matters a lot. And I think that – I'm not sure that we – I hate to say it. I'm not sure we even have the opportunity right now. We have the sort of luxury of – allowing Trevor Noah to have time to maybe get some gravitas behind him.
Yeah.
Because right now things are so fucking bad. They're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That we do. We just need, you know, we need someone with the cultural authority of Stewart to be able to hit back.
Right.
And to be able to hold the fort for us.
Well, the main thing, and we talked about this when Trevor Noah was first announced, and I'll repeat this just because we're in the context now. But I think the real problem could be that will Trevor Noah still have the same impact when it's known that he's not American, that he's South African. Right. And so therefore, you know, Jon Stewart was living in it. I mean, he was living it, breathing it, grew up in it. I mean, lived in New Jersey his entire life. That, to me, adds an insight and a level of credibility. I don't know if I can take seriously as much, and I'm going to give him a chance. I will take him seriously. But I don't know if I can take him as seriously, knowing that he's a South African coming to the United States and making fun of the United States.
I agree. I think you have to be able to. I'm a big fan of outsiders, you know, like John Oliver making fun of the States is brilliant.
Right.
And, you know, and he does it really well. And so that obviously gives me a lot of hope for Trevor Noah in that respect.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I do. You know, I do think that there is some heart there, and that's a pretty good way to put it. There's heart and earnestness and sincerity mm-hmm. that comes from someone who is angry that his home is being trashed.
Right.
And I think that's important, and I think that's what Stewart gave us that was there for us when things happened like 9/11. You know, he had the ability to say, you know, this is, you know, I was my home, my apartment, you know, my view was the World Trade Center, and now it's the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, as an American, that phrase means a lot to be able to say as an American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
And Stewart can say that. And, you know, and I'm not saying, of course, that Trevor Noah is not, you know, having immigrated here is not also an American, but yeah, you know, I mean, it is not like Stewart. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I do know that John Stewart is going to be missed. I mean, there's an irony about the fact that he's stepping down on the day of the first Republican debate.
Exactly.
And it's just like, oh my God.
Like, I wish to God he were around tomorrow or Monday so that I could hear his take on the debate.
Yeah, and will there be anybody on Monday to present their take? I mean, a serious look. No, not a serious look, but I mean, as a thorough look, I should say, at the debate the way Jon Stewart would have. I don't think there are. I don't think that person
exists.
I don't.
I can't think of who, again, has that cultural cachet.
Yeah.
And also has the ability to make us laugh when we desperately need it because things are just awful.
Well, okay, let's take a break and come back, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Jon Stewart. But we got all kinds of election news with the big debates tonight, so we really want to dive into that. Back with more show right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show today. Really appreciate you listening. I watched that Rockin' 1000 video again yesterday.
Right. It is good.
It's so great. 1,000 musicians performing this song in Italy. Just awesome. Okie dokie. Still a lot of stuff to get to on the show today. I've got Jesse Ventura audio.
Oh, boy.
Jesse Ventura's preview of the Republican debate.
Oh, I can only imagine what that's like.
And whether he's going to watch and who he would support. And he just goes off. Just goes
I really,
off.
I really, really enjoyed. Did you see the Matt Taibbi debate drinking game?
No, was it? There's. Oh, I saw it.
It was so good. Not only was it good, but the best line in it was... He said that you know, immediately following the debate, they would have the debate of the remaining candidates at the kiddie table, after which they will all be humanely euthanized by a veterinarian.
Listen, speaking of drinking games, you know, public health officials are urging Americans to exercise caution if they choose to participate in drinking games during the first Republican primary.
Good move.
Debate this today. Let's see here. Quote, you simply can't drink every time one of these guys says something silly, said Surgeon General Vivek Murthy during a Wednesday morning press conference. I like that backhanded insult right there.
Yeah.
Like they're all going to be saying something silly.
I love that.
Coming from the Surgeon General. We've got three candidates who are prone to gaffes, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Scott Walker. And then half a dozen obscure goofballs vying with Donald Trump for a little media attention. It's just a formula for disaster. That is awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Vivek Murthy, the United States Surgeon General. Just laying into the Republicans. Well, considering how the Republicans treated him when he was nominated by the president for Surgeon General. I guess it's only fair that he smacked them down.
Absolutely.
Right before the debate. So here's the story. Here's the schedule of what you can expect on Fox News Channel. It's just coming up in a few hours as we record the show. So you're going to have it, this is all Eastern time, 5 to 6 p.m., the Republican presidential candidates debate, the bottom seven candidates. That's the second stage at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
That'll be live from Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. From 6 to 7, special report with Brett Baer, live from Cleveland. 7 to 8, on the record with Greta Van Susteren. 8 to 8.50, the O'Reilly Factor. Oh, they're taking away 10 minutes from the O'Reilly Factor. How about that? That's scandalous. Yeah. 8.50 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Republican presidential candidates debate, the top 10 candidates, live from Cleveland. And then after that, which no one cares about, 11 to 12, the Kelly File, 12 to 1, Hannity. So, but
go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why I'm reading the other shows.
by the way, while that sounds completely reasonable, I kind of like when you were talking about it, I'm like, really? Are we sure? That story is satire.
What story?
About Vivek Murthy. It's too bad. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm reading this right off of. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Raw Story's got it at the top.
Yeah, I was just reading it off of Raw Story. That's
I just happened to click on it right now because I'm like, I want to see that, and I look it up, and like at the very top, and it kind of disappears, especially if you're reading it on mobile at the top where it says that. So I'm like, that's too bad though. That's really fucking.
Oh man!
Regardless, it's great.
Yeah,
it happens. We'll all get nailed eventually. I wrote an entire piece one day, piece about Ted Cruz, and just before I was about to post it, I'm like, let me go back and double check that one more time. Fucking satire. I'm like, but that really, you know, again, Poe's law.
Yeah, well, exactly. Now I feel a bit like Dan Bidondi reading the strap on dildo story.
It's a penis, artificial penis, dildo, damn dildo, strap on dildos.
All right, so here's the lineup.
The news is what we tell you it is. It really happened. F*** you.
So here's the lineup for each stage. We talked about this on Tuesday, but here it is just to get you prepared. Second stage is Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina.
Wow.
Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, of course, loves shooting ski.
I like shooting ski. Yeah.
Jim Gilmore. He's former Virginia governor, Jim Gilmore.
Who?
I've never heard of Jim Gilmore, ever. And then George Pataki is at the second stage, too. The main event is Rand Paul, Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, Mike Huckabee, Dr. Ben Carson.
That'd be awesome if like Ben Carson puts all the rest of them to sleep.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That way he can, you know.
In my opening statement tonight, I propose taking all the other candidates here, all nine of you, on the Z train to Snoozeville. Climb aboard. Toot, toot. Here we go. Z train leaving the station.
How long is this? This thing is going to be like 8 hours.
Yeah, I think, where's the schedule again? Yeah, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah, oh, it's
like two hours. It's 2 hours long. 2 hours and 10 minutes
it's
long.
It's got to be more than that, though. It has to be.
Also, Ted Cruz, Chris Christie, and John Kasich.
Well, thank God.
The main stage. So it's just basically going to be like everyone trying to out-Trump Trump.
Yep.
Like everyone trying to squeeze in zingers.
Imagine how awesome it's going to be. It's going to be like Trump, just, you're done.
You're
and meanwhile, off to the side, there's Ted Cruz like shooting a machine gun with bacon wrapped around it.
Yeah. Rand Paul, like, slicing up the tax code with a chainsaw.
Yep, exactly. Just nothing but ridiculous stunts.
Yeah, it's going to be like when Steve-O would get on stage and, like, staple his scrotum to his leg.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be an episode of Jackass. Halfway through, it's going to be like the Jackass credits where a giant, like, wrecking ball will just come through and knock them all over.
Yeah, also on the main stage will be Wee Man.
Be awesome.
Could you imagine that?
I'd much rather see the Jackass crew up there.
The one bit, I think it's from the first Jackass movie where they had the giant hand.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. It's number two.
Oh, Jackass number two. Yeah,
I think it's two. Where it's one of the first bits where they have the giant hand and they like smack the crap out of Wee Man and Dunn and Bam.
But that's the Republican debate, and it's only a matter of time before like Huckabee just drops his drawers, staples his scrotum to his leg.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't wait. We're actually recording the show earlier than we normally do today because I want to watch the debate. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to talk more. Oh, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush went after Trump. We'll get into that in just a second, right after this.
Hello, and God bless. My name is Jim Bob Duggar from the hit television series 19 Kids and Counting.
And I'm Michelle Duggar. I'm a human gestation pod for the Lord.
As you might have read, we've been victimized by an evil, devilish media scandal.
The media, agenda, media, just...
People have asked us, wow, Jim Bob, how do you and Michelle stay so even-keeled and unaffected by all the turmoil and improper touching?
Turmoil is the devil's work.
Yes, it is, Michelle.
I like shoes. Shoes are fun.
Here's how we achieve our current state of glazed, vacant, emotionless bliss. From the folks at Quiverful Laboratory in Heber Springs, Arkansas, we've been taking all new Maximum Strength Cultopraxipro.
Cultopraxipro.
Right you are, honey. Maximum Strength Cultopraxipro is a cocktail of the world's finest anti-anxiety and anti-psychotic medications, including...
Chlorpromazine, Loxapac, Drolaptan, Perphenazine, Compazine, Tafris, Abilify, Lurasidone, Seroquel, Zyprexa, Clozapine, Nipalept, and Haloperidol. Praise the Lord, there's an actual halo...
Anafranil, Norpramin, Sinequan, Trofranil, Marplan, Nardil, M-SAM, Parnate, Xanax, Libria, Clonopin, Valium, Ativan, and Cerex.
Depakote, Lyrica, Neurontin, Tenormin, Corgar, Provasic, Inderol or Betacron, Moban, Risperol, Zalexa, Prozac, Luvox, Zoloft, Prespeak, Cymbalta, Fetzima.
Elavil, Amioxid, Doxepin, Novaril, White Zinfandel, Chlorhexfenadryl, Atipin, Vivictil, Humeril, Valdoxin, Wellbutrin, Metatone, and Alpha-Ethyltryptamine. Just take one Cultopraxipro with food.
Oh, I take 6 or 7 an hour.
That's nice.
My name is Michelle. Doo-da, doo-da.
It's Cultopraxipro from Quiverful Labs. When praying just isn't enough to stun you into an anesthetized cult-like state of emotional paralysis.
Consult your Quiverful auditor before taking Cultopraxipro. You should not take 6 or 7 Cultopraxipro per hour. Side effects include dry mouth, wet mouth, lifeless eyes, Jersey girl hair, the barfs, pins and needles, rocks and garbage, dizziness, euphoria, no sense of right and wrong, spastic tone, moral superiority, the clap, ferret face, hysterical deafness, crusty limb balls, lengthy toenails, ectopic ectoplasm, the side hugs, gingivitis, bigotry, volcanic sputum, waxy lips, pubic staining, lens flare, gargantuan epiglottis, intravenous demilo, finger hair, and lung butter. Cultopraxipro. Use only as recommended.
Is it time for me to say improper touching again? Improper touching? Proper touching. It's improper touching.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
They're evidently broke.
That's what I hear.
Duggar. Yep. Yeah. But
couldn't,
I mean,
couldn't happen to a nicer couple of douchebags.
I mean, where's the rest of the Quiverful people to help them out? Isn't it all about charity and giving when you're, you know, that super Christian?
God bailed on them. So long, f***ers.
By the way, segment 2 of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing extra, and it helps support the show. Thank you in advance. Okay, so moving along here, Jeb Bush is apparently hitting back at Trump, but privately. And I get the sense that this is kind of going to be the MO with Trump. Like, they'll say things privately and it'll leak out, so they're not necessarily on record as saying it. Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush has largely refrained from publicly engaging with real estate mogul Donald Trump over the course of the 2016 presidential race. But in private, the former Florida governor reportedly has some choice words for his primary rival. Citing several anonymous sources close to Bush, Politico reported Thursday that Bush unloaded on the billionaire in a recent conversation with a GOP donor. Quote, seriously, what's this guy's problem? Bush reportedly told the donor, adding that he thought Trump was a, quote, buffoon, a clown, and an asshole. That's pretty funny, because it sounds like he's doing like Trump. That's like what Trump would say about Jeb Bush.
Right, but he doesn't say it to his face.
This guy's a buffoon. He's a clown. He's a loser. Weak. Right. He's weak.
Which he is, by the way. Yeah, Trump is totally all of those things.
Yeah. He's an a-hole. Yeah. But, I mean, Trump, I've got this weird thing going on now with Trump where I am just fascinated by what he's doing. I think it's the political student in me that's observing what's going on.
It is fascinating. Yeah. It really is. It's, you know, there's nothing like it. It's still a shame. It's still an absolute embarrassment. Yeah. It is the idiocracy.
Oh, yeah, totally. So there was a focus group on Fox News Channel, and it just descended into chaos. As soon as it was a Frank Luntz focus group, and they presented it on Hannity, and as soon as Frank Luntz brought up Trump, the people just started tearing each other's hair out, like really just almost fisticuffs broke out.
I like that. It's kind of like a trigger word. You know, it's like a post-hypnotic suggestion. Trump, rah, rah, like the monkeys all start beating the crap out of each other.
Here's some of that focus group.
Welcome back to Hannity. So with days to go until the first GOP debate, we sent our team of producers to capture a focus group with pollster Frank Luntz in the all-important primary state of New Hampshire in order to learn what Republican voters really think about this GOP field. Here's what the focus group said about Donald Trump being a possible Republican nominee.
This is a live sitcom we're watching here. You better watch what you ask for, because you just might get it, and it won't be good.
I'm tired of the United.
Wow.
Where do they find these characters for these focus groups?
Oh, my God. Well, Luntz is a douchebag. So.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, it's so funny. Any focus group you put together, and I'm sure you've gone through focus groups with being in TV.
Hell yes. I used to hate having to deal with focus groups. Yeah. They're there for the food.
They're there for the food and the attention. Yeah, they want to be... They want to be the deciders.
Yeah, the free food. And the sad thing is, I mean, obviously when it comes to politics, it's a different thing. But when it comes to something like TV, it really does suck that whatever these morons say goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like every time I'd have to sit through one of those things, whatever the results were, I would hear about them for the next like 6 months. Well, remember what the focus group said. Like,
yeah.
Care what the focus group said.
Well, of course, they're only there to express their opinions, so certainly they're going to express their opinions, and if they don't have an opinion, they're going to make one up, which completely negates the point of having a focus group.
And I hate people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I used to say. I'm the wrong person to have here because I hate people, and I think most people are dumb.
Here's a little bit more.
It states... agreeing with what he is saying, and they're standing up and they're clapping, and the other Republicans better start making fun of him because they made fun of Ronald Reagan, and I think Donald Trump could possibly become the next president of the United States of America.
No. This guy has...
He is not a fraud. What's a fraud?
People have not done his homework. People have not done their homework on Donald Trump. Look at his books. He's been all over the fence on issues over the years. He changes his views like he changes his underwear.
I don't
care. Already 6 out of 10 independents have already said they will not vote for Donald Trump.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. The people in the United States, and I am against the fact that they are saying that low information voters, I am against the fact.
Yeah, this is like scaring the hell out of me.
Oh, it's yeah. Welcome to America.
The deciders.
Yep.
Here, your American electorate, ladies and gentlemen. And we wonder why we get, it's like what George Carlin said. I almost played that at the top of the show today.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out. You get stupid, ignorant voters, you're going to get stupid, ignorant politicians. And here they are. here they are chaperoning us all to the gates of the idiocracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That you're insulting my intelligence because I am for Donald Trump.
He donated to Hillary.
I don't care.
Yep, it is.
That is the Fox News mantra. Everyone who watches Fox, it doesn't matter. You can tell them anything you want, and you can pull any fact out of anywhere. It's, I don't care.
And I love, by the way, that's the problem with Donald Trump. Years ago, he gave money to Hillary Clinton, and he's friends with the Clintons. You know, which admittedly, if you're a Republican, his being on the side of liberals for a very long time, I can see where that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But just the idea that they talk to these people and their biggest issue with Donald Trump is something so benign.
Yeah.
Where instead of Donald Trump is a fucking raging idiot.
Yeah, he's a
Donald
showman.
Trump is an arrogant buffoon.
Right. He's like a circus ringleader. He's not like a serious candidate.
Yeah, nobody says that. Nobody says we're talking about electing as president of the United States a buffoonish reality TV star.
That's right. That's right. And people are taking him seriously. He's winning.
Yep.
By a wide margin. We're going to take one last break and come back and talk about, one of my favorite people right now, Jesse Ventura, right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
How can a guy as goofy as what's his name from Smashing Pumpkins come up with this kind of music? I don't understand that.
Oh, Corgan?
Yeah,
Corgan.
Billy Corgan.
Freaking lunatic.
Oh, I had Jake. The name that was coming into my head was James Corden. I was like, no, it's not James Corden. Billy Corgan, of course. With his sad, sad amusement park photo. That's one of my favorite things on the internet right now. Someone posted on my Facebook timeline. They made, the Shatner episode of The Twilight Zone, where he sees the monster on the airplane wing.
Yeah.
They made Trump's face as the monster face.
Yeah, it's awesome. I saw that. That's actually a meme.
Oh, it is?
There's a whole meme going around right now. Like, somebody else had from It, the Stephen King TV show, the miniseries, they had the kid looking into the drainage ditch and sticking out of the gutter, the face is Trump.
That's so awesome. That might actually be the avatar for the show today.
It's pretty good.
Have to do that. Okay, so Jesse Ventura, maybe not so much Jesse Ventura, but it's your impression of Jesse Ventura that is effing amazing. So whenever Jesse Ventura opens his mouth about the Republican nomination process, I got to play a clip of Jesse Ventura talking about it.
Oh,
so
boy. Here,
with the debate happening in just a matter of hours from right now as we record the show, Jesse Ventura released...
Donald Trump's hair is controlled by DARPA.
Ben Carson is controlled by DARPA.
DARPA. His goal is going to be to put everyone to sleep.
Oh, God. So funny. So here's Jesse Ventura talking about the Republican debate tonight.
Are you going to be watching?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to be drinking a Slurpee made out of thermite paint.
My God, it's making me... Oh, my God. So goddamn funny.
Are you going to be watching?
Absolutely not. I'm not going to watch because it's right now is the year 2015.
Right now.
That's actually what they want you to think is that it's 2015. Actually, DARPA has made it 2027.
It's 2015 right now.
I believe this election takes place November of 2016, first and foremost.
That's what they want you for.
Oh, my God. It's anything that he says just makes me laugh and laugh and laugh.
He is awesome. Yeah, there's nobody who sounds like that.
Oh, God.
Most. My voting this year will be simple. I'm going to be a one-issue voter. I'm voting for a candidate who will get us out of all these Middle Eastern wars, which means there is only one Republican candidate that's indicated he would do that.
Who's that?
I can only imagine.
It's not going to be Dr. Ben Carson.
And that is Rand Paul. Rand Paul is the only one on this slate of candidates who I would...
He says candidates.
Candidates. Wow.
The slate of... He probably always says sabotage.
Sabotage.
This slate of candidates.
Rand Paul.
Governor Ventura, it's Bob Seska from the Bob and Chez Show. Quick question. Who's your favorite candidate and why?
I don't talk to you, Bob. You're trying to trick me with your magical machine that hacks cars.
Governor, I'm not hacking any cars. I'm not trying to take control of their
thermite paint.
Even give consideration to voting for, and he's still a Republican, so I won't vote for him either. So why would I watch the debates?
So here's my calculus, all right? I am not going to vote for anyone who's going to continue the Middle East wars, and the only one who's not is Rand Paul, and I'm not going to vote for him either.
Also, CSI New Orleans is on tonight. I like that show because I think Scott Bakula is in it.
What was that? How do you pronounce his last name?
Bakula. Minnesota.
Minnesota, where they make cars.
Mm-hmm, cars.
Cars. And we worry about DARPA.
If that's your idea of entertainment, watch it and enjoy it. It's not my idea of entertainment. I stand for we shouldn't even have elections or allow people even to run until the actual year of the election.
That's what he stands for. He stands for, I don't think we should have an election until the year the election is and make sure they all do lots of things in that year, and that's what I stand for.
I'm voting for Morris Day. He's from Minnesota. But not the time. I don't like that, Jerome.
Case in point, when the 2016 election is over in November and 2017 he gets sworn in, does the 2020 race start right then? Why would you care about this debate unless you're a Republican? I'm not a Republican.
Because it's fun. That's why, because it's a clown show. Get your popcorn out.
Charlie Fiorina.
You know what's really sad? This poor, like, young woman who is obviously asking him these questions and being paid to pretend that she gives one fuck about anything that Jesse Ventura has to say.
Yeah.
She's just, you know that before all of this, who the hell is Jesse Ventura? You just know that. She had no idea who he was. Now all of a sudden it's Governor.
I want
to
know
why the hell is it? By the way, I need to know that. I've always wondered that. Why the hell is it that even if someone hasn't been in public office forever, you're still, well, not necessarily required, but it's sort of common courtesy to refer to them by that title? Like, you know, Sarah Palin is a moron, and yet they, you know, people continue to defer to her by calling her governor.
Governor.
It's like, yeah, it's like. I'm waiting for an ex-president to become a child molester or something. And he still has to be called, you know, President so-and-so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just that it's I think, a feature of the right. I think I see them doing that a lot. And I understand. And I'm a stickler when it comes to someone who's actually in office, referring to them by their title. But when they're out of office and they've been out of office for a long, long time, I mean, referring to Jesse, when was he governor of Minnesota? He was governor of Minnesota like 10 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe even longer than that. I honestly can't remember.
Just like there's a statute of limitations on the honorifics. Like,
right,
for God's sake. Yeah.
Could care less about it. The ultimate winner happens on election day. Declaring a victory.
Election day. He got really guttural there. Election day.
Three after a debate? I find that
I'm
silly.
Voting for Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Mean Gene and Gorilla Monsoon and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah.
They should be moderating the debate, even though Roddy Piper's dead. Rowdy Roddy Piper would give the candidates what for? Put them in a suplex? Knock them right into the turnbuckle face first?
There you go.
Figure four leg lock? They'd never be able to escape that one. I would just love him to just go off, like really off on a tangent.
It would be great.
Like a stream of consciousness, just rant. Just completely unrelated to where he started.
Right.
All it is media hysterics. It's done so the media gets ratings, and it's done for your entertainment value. The thing to look for people, look for the Pat questions. Because these truly...
Questions about guys named Pat.
Pat, yeah.
They're going to ask questions about Pat Summerall. Maybe even Dick Van Patten.
Peppermint Patty.
They aren't going to be debates anyway. They're going to get the questions ahead of time. They're going to know every question and answer before they even go in there. And they're going to be reading their answers probably off cue cards.
Cue cards.
Yep.
Ben Carson is going to read his DARPA answer off a cue card. And then Carly Fiorina is going to read her answers off of a cue card.
Prompters or whatever else they've been prompted and spun to get. The day they have real debates will be the day these guys get up there and don't know one question when they get up there, and that doesn't happen. So these truly aren't debates, are they? All I care about who their final nominee is, and I'll have no say-so in it anyway. It's going to be done by the good old boys club. It's going to be done by the Republican Party.
The Republican Party will be reading their DARPA questions off of cue cards.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who shines in the debate or not. They're going to pick the person they want in the end anyway. Same holds true for the Democratic side. And it's getting far too expensive.
Far.
They're far too long.
Far. Wow. Far too expensive. Far too long.
Yeah.
All of this could be done next year, and they'd still have plenty of time.
Ah, Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura. All right. That's I love that more than life itself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so again, no after party on Friday, but we do have a post-mortem show coming up for you. Just a few seconds if you're a subscriber at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. At the $5 level, you get the post-mortem show. We're going to talk about, there's this really creepy anti-Rand Paul ad.
Wow.
That John Bolton's outfit just released. It's hilariously creepy.
Oh, boy.
Gonna play that. Plus, we're gonna talk about, I've got the schedule for the Democratic debates.
Saw that.
And then a guy tried to marry his lawnmower.
Awesome.
We're gonna talk about that on the post-mortem show. That's coming right up for you. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers for helping us out. And if you wanna join the club... The club? That'll worry about the club. Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Just cool it. Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Or you can just go to bobsesco.com. That's easy to remember. And just below the logo in big capital letters, it says Patreon. Just click it. And you go right over to patreon.com and just fill in the amount that you want to pledge per month. And that's it. Then you just come back and you get the shows I will say, I have to apologize. I don't know why it's happening, but there is something wrong with Patreon that's making it really hard for me to upload the shows. Hard. It's hard for me to upload the shows on Patreon. And so what happens is sometimes I'll post a show, but then the audio link will disappear from the post. But people have been alerting me to it, and I've been trying to fix it as quickly as possible. So apologies to our Patreon people for all of the sort of technical glitches at Patreon. I hope they're squaring them away. I am really, really, really hoping.
Got it.
All right, have a great weekend, folks. If you're only a free show listener, we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.